Like us to turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse. Pardon me, I've lost myself here. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Just for completion, I'll read from verse 9. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And the title of the message is Walking with Spiritual Intelligence. Walking with Spiritual Intelligence. Now we have in the foregoing narrative from verse 1 to 11 the apostle admonishing the saints concerning a certain brother. This brother we believe is the same man spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that the apostle had admonished the saints to deal with. He had sinned a grievous sin. And now the apostle, it seems, is speaking of that brother. If you just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. In verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. And so we believe this is the same person that the Apostle Paul speaks about even in 2 Corinthians and chapter 2 and the verses 1 to 11. And so the Apostle, he had exhorted them to reach out, or exhorts them now to reach out to the brother who it seems had repented of this sin with much sorrow in his heart. Now, whereas they had gone ahead and heeded the apostle's call to take this brother, to take him out of fellowship and to take the sin that he had committed as a serious sin. And now he admonishes them to return him. And just as the discipline they had given or granted or meted out was harsh, now he tells them, receive him with comfort. Receive him with even a sweetness and restore him. And so the apostle confirms even his desire for them to restore this man. They were to confirm their love towards him and to show a great desire for restoration. It's about restoration, not banning away from the fellowship, even of those that repent, who are repentant. And so the apostle is saying, forgive this brother. Confirm your love towards him. And he then states in verse 11 why it was important for the saints to restore this brother. Namely, lest Satan take advantage. But how would Satan take advantage of this situation. If they didn't restore him, how would Satan take advantage of this situation? Well, firstly, this man would be overwhelmed with sorrow. He would be overwhelmed in such a way that he experiences spiritual depression, and he wanders away from the church which should restore him. He then leaves because he's overwhelmed, and then that brother is destroyed, even of the evil one. But also, the devil would take advantage of this situation by bringing about a bitterness of heart in that man's heart. That man would walk away from the church with bitterness. He's a child of God, a child of the Lord Jesus Christ even. And he walks away bitter in his heart. But equally, he leaves behind a bitter spirit. And the Bible is clear that a bitter spirit defiles a whole church. And so this man should be restored. But even the devil will take advantage through harshness. The brethren in the church would become harsh towards this brother, not forgiving him. And that harshness is sin. And therefore, they remain with that harshness even when he leaves. And their hearts even become harder one towards another. And they then continue with that spirit of harshness and not love amongst themselves. And so the Spirit of God is grieved in their presence. But as well, the devil would take advantage even through evil speaking. The brethren that remain will be speaking of this man every time he arrives. Pardon me. Every time they think of him, they speak evil. Oh, that's the man who did such and such. And they would say all sorts of things about him. But he's repented of his sin. Oh, never mind that. He did such and such. And we chucked him out of church. He's not coming back to us. And they remain with that evil speaking. But also, he carries forth that evil speaking. He speaks evil of his brethren. And Satan is glad. Satan has the advantage. What about railings and blasphemies that man would have and utter against God? Why have you done this to me, God? I've repented of my sin, but look, I've been rejected. Where is Christ in these people's hearts? Maybe I wasn't a Christian after all. Maybe they're not Christians either. Maybe we're kidding ourselves. We're all deceived. We've not been saved. Why am I not being received back in the fellowship? Satan would have taken the advantage. And so even Satan would take advantage of a spirit of wrath towards the elders and others in the church. What kind of elders are they at Corinth? Are they truly shepherds of the flock? I am a member of the flock of Jesus Christ. Why have they dealt thus with me? And so Satan takes advantage. And so the apostle says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And so he's got that reason. And notice the apostle, he says, get an advantage of us, he includes himself. I will be affected as well if you do not restore this brother. I feel for you, I feel for that brother. If you do not restore him, all of us will be taken advantage of. But what does the apostle mean by taking advantage of us? How does Satan, what does it mean? How does he get an advantage of us? Well, in the first place, he has a foothold in that church. Like a wrestler who has a foothold against the opponent. He has a foothold, it's steadfast, and he is able to bring people down one by one until he destroys the church, even from within. And that foothold, that advantage, shows Satan overwhelming a whole church. He sifts the church, he grabs a hold of the church and takes that advantage. It's like a tennis match. Advantage, such and such. He has the advantage. And then it will be game after that. And the church is destroyed. And you have to close the doors. And that's it. All because Satan took advantage of the church. And Satan, he's had thousands of years to study man. He knows what to do with man. He knows what devices to apply, even upon churches and individuals in a church. He uses many devices. One of the devices is covering of sin. He causes a whole church to cover their own sin. In other words, they've got rid of that person, but this sin, you see, has remained, and they cover it by excusing it. He sinned far too far. We cannot accept him back. Covering of sin. The devil, he's saying, that man's sin is too much to bear. That man's sin has not been covered by Jesus Christ. That man's sin is far too deep for you to take him back. And so they cover their own sin, and the brother is lost. And Christ, the name of Christ is shamed. And the Spirit of God is grieved. And Satan wins the day. Covering of sin. That's a strategy he will use. It's not as bad as it looks. It's fine. You're right. But in a situation like that, Satan also uses a device that says, seek ye first your own comforts, not your brother's. If he comes back again, how do we know? He might sin again. He's blemishing, or he's a blemish upon the fellowship. And so there's a self-seeking, my comforts first, our comforts as a church. We want to be a clean church. No stain on our church. But also, in a way, there is a cheap righteousness that Satan throws to Christians and thus it takes advantage of them. Cheap righteousness, it doesn't cost you anything. Your righteousness is like the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees. It's not a righteousness that requires you to go the extra mile. It doesn't cost you anything. It's a righteousness which doesn't go far enough. It's not willing to die for other Christians, not willing to give of itself. Cheap righteousness. Another strategy he uses to take advantage in a situation like this is self-importance. Self-importance. And it's quite possible that the elders in the church would have a sense of self-importance. We got rid of him. That's it. He's not coming back. If he comes back, it will look like we're weak. Why do we accept him back? Supposing he does other things, what will people think of us if he sins again? We'll look like idiots. Self-importance. Not thinking about the Savior first and foremost. And so that's how Satan would take advantage even of this situation. And he would employ his devices. And so as we continue to proceed in this text, I want to ask you a question. As a church and as individuals, what do you do to make sure that Satan does not get an advantage? How do you as an individual live your life to make sure that Satan does not get an advantage? And I suggest to you that if Satan ever got an advantage of the church and of you as an individual, it's because you're ignorant of his devices. He has many devices he uses even to take advantage of Christians. So many. One advantage he could use against you is creature worship. You begin to worship celebrities in the church, such and such a preacher. You worship them, you talk about them, you watch their videos, you compare them, and you look at the sermon audio and say, how many times has he been downloaded? 75,000. Wow, that's the one to go for. What about that other one? Only 200. Oh no, I'm not listening to him. You're worshiping the person. Celebrity worship. I'll go to this conference, that conference. So-and-so is speaking, I'm going there. I'm not going to the other conference because such and such a celebrity preacher is not there. He's not speaking. But what is he going to be talking about? Oh, it doesn't matter. He's going to be there. And then Satan would take advantage of us by promoting sensuality amongst us. Feed the senses. And so he uses such things as films to take advantage of us. We are careless in our walk and we begin to watch things we shouldn't have watched. And that way Satan takes advantage of us. He spoils our fellowship. Even he might take advantage of us in terms of fashion. Boys and girls dressing in ways they shouldn't. Remember the fashion that we see of the world and from the world is designed even with Satan's suggestions. Boys and girls dressed up in clothing that exposes things that it shouldn't, that shouldn't be exposed. Clothes that are geared to promote sensuality. And so Satan takes advantage even in the congregation. And that's because we're ignorant, we're unawares, we're sleeping, slumbering. We don't study the word. We don't read up on books that speak of the strategies of Satan. And somehow he's caused us to be careless. He's caused us to ignore him. But dear friends, how can we counter Satan? How can we encounter even the devices that he throws at us? What should we do when Satan takes advantage, or to stop him taking advantage of us? Well, the first thing is we shouldn't be ignorant. That means we need to have knowledge. Read up the word. Know the word. Always read the word daily. Don't think for a moment that when you read the word, it's a waste of time. It isn't. Try this if you can. Read 3 chapters every day. 3 chapters, picking out a chapter from different books of the Bible daily. Try it for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and see how much of it you can recall. You might say, I won't be able to recall anything, but trust me. Or maybe don't trust me. Trust the Lord. Don't trust me, but trust the Lord. Every word matters, and when you read his word, it will help you. It will stick. Your mind actually absorbs it. How do we know this? When we read other books, what happens? We recall things from there. And so even the word of God, it will help you. The more you read of it, and the more you think about it and meditate upon it, the more it affects you, and the more you're on guard against even the devices of Satan. But also read good books. There are many good books you can buy in the Tabernacle bookshop and other good bookshops. There are books online that you can download, and those books will help you to be guarded against the devices of Satan. Satan is out to destroy the church and every member of that church, and so we dare not even slip. We dare not lose our hold on the faith. We dare not be careless. The Bible warns us and tells us to be watchful, to be steadfast, and to always even walk in the paths of righteousness. Satan will be driven away if we walk in the paths of righteousness, if we walk even with the Lord daily, seeking his face. And you know, the Lord has made it so easy for us. So easy. I know us Christians would say it's hard. It's only hard because you're not used to it. If you become used to waking up every day, every morning, to read the word and pray over time, yes, it is hard, but you will want to make sure you've read your Bible and you've prayed and sought his face. Don't be in a hurry to read the word. Where are you rushing to? Take your time. Think upon the word. I know we've got the pressures of time, but if you can, chop off time from those things that are not essential in life. There's so many things. You could start with the television, for instance. Why do you need it? You're paying the BBC money to pump out rubbish to you. What's the point? Chuck it away. Oh, I need it for the news. Well, you've got the internet. And even then, internet, what news do you need from the internet? And so, there are things that we can do to counter even the evil one. And there are things that we can do to make sure that he doesn't take advantage of us. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober. Be sober. That is, be temperate, be careful, be watchful. Be like the person who's ever awake, never letting a moment be used by the devil. Any thought that is planted, even by the evil one, or your flesh, cast it aside. Is it gossip? Grab it. I won't have that. Is it slander? Is it some wicked thought, some blasphemy? No, I will not have it. If a brother or sister comes with some gossip or slander, sorry, I'm not listening. Keep it away and gently rebuke them. In fact, better still, if they come with some slander, just say, hang on, sister, hang on, brother. What's the name of the person again? Such and such. Let's kneel down right now and let's pray that the Lord will bless that person. And you'll chop off that slander right away. Satan defeated even at that point. And so we counter the evil one. The scriptures again continue. Be vigilant. You soldiers in the army of the Lord, be vigilant. Don't let your gun down, as it were. Don't let your guard down. You're ever on duty for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize, even when you're asleep, the devil attacks you? Even in your dreams. Now, when I say the devil attacks you in your dreams, I'm not saying necessarily he comes and says, right, what are you dreaming about? I'm going to attack you. All I'm saying is this. If you've been dwelling on things that are unrighteous, very often they may creep into your dreams and your mind begins to cogitate and think about those things. And in a way, the devil is attacking you in your sleep. However, if you concentrate on the Word of God, meditate upon it daily, it enriches your life. Even your dreams will be impacted by that. And so we are vigilant. Why? The devil is never at rest. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He never rests. He never ever ceases to rest. For thousands of years, he's been seeking whom he may devour. He devoured our first parents, Adam and Eve, in their innocence, in their pure first estate. When they had never ever sinned, he attacked them and he devoured them because they were ignorant of his devices and they fell. That is not to say we wouldn't have fallen, we would have. But the point is, Satan never rests. He will rest at nothing. And he will continue to devour those who are not sober, who are not vigilant, who are not steadfast in the faith. Brethren, we're in a war that doesn't stop until we die or until the Lord Jesus comes back. But we're an army with fellow soldiers. We must look after our fellow soldiers. When they're fallen, we restore them. We're not to chuck them away. We fight together, side by side, for the Lord Jesus Christ, our captain of the army of the Lord. And so we are vigilant, we're sober, we're steadfast, and we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And Christ, how he loves us and how he cares for his army, for his brethren. And Christ, he will keep us if only we continue to walk in him. If only we continue to love us. He'll never leave us, no matter what we do. But how much sweeter our walk and our fight, even against the flesh, the world, and the devil, will be if we draw nigh to the Lord and we encourage one another. Like those embers, dying embers in a fire, split them up, they die. Put them together, a flame even arises, and the embers become a burning flame. And we can be together as a burning flame of righteousness. And the Lord Jesus is glorified and magnified. And our hearts will love him and desire him more and more until the day of righteousness dawns, eternal righteousness. And then we won't have to worry and be concerned about fighting the evil one, because he would have been defeated by one who is above all other names, who well deserves the name of friend, of Savior, of Lord. May the Lord help us to walk in righteousness together and ensure that we are not taken advantage of by the evil one, but that we might be aware of his devices, that we might walk with spiritual intelligence, knowledge that knows who we are, who we serve, and who our enemy is. May the Lord help us, dear brethren and friends. Amen. Amen.